Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Our buddy Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Adam?
I'm annoyed with my kid's school right now, Albert. That's how I'm doing. But that point. Keep changing the schedule on us, and I'm getting a little frustrated. But
yeah, I guess we're all... You know what? So my kid's in school 2 days a week now. We have, like, it's hybrid, Tuesday, Friday. And, I wish they would kind of give us some sort of path back. I think that would motivate everybody. But not to get off on a tangent here, but it's like, if they told us, like, hey, if we hit these markers or we go this long without seeing any cases, we'll ease back here and here and here. It's just, I mean, it feels like they're sort of making it up as they go along, which isn't ideal.
It's a little frustrating. But speaking of which, you know, it's really wild. Like, and I guess not surprising because one is adults and they're getting paid and one is college students. But the NFL, obviously, and it's still early, but the NFL going very smoothly. COVID has really been a non-factor. I mean, it's a factor in terms of wearing masks and stuff like that and preparation, but it's been a non-factor on the season, essentially. Whereas in college, we've seen obviously a lot of leagues delayed. Now most of them are coming back, but we've seen a lot of cancellations in college because of COVID outbreaks on these teams. I mean, not surprising, but a little, it's kind of interesting how it's been so different between college and pro.
Yeah, well, I think there's really two things at work here. Number one, there's the obvious, which is these guys are college students that are on college campuses, and it's a little more difficult to control. And I think it's a little harder probably to tell a college kid, you know, don't go hang out on the weekend, don't go to a party, don't go out drinking, don't do X, Y, and Z that all normal college kids do. So I think that's part of it. I mean, you know, like you said, like the NFL's not out of the woods. I thought, Jason's old teammate, Bobby Carpenter, brought up a great point to me. He said, like, you know, it's going to be interesting when some of these teams are 1-5, you know, and what happens then when, you know, the 23-year-old linebacker is getting a call from a girl to meet him at the bar on a Thursday night. Is he as quick to say no if his team is, like, out of the playoff picture? I just thought that was such an interesting thing, you know? So that stuff's still on the table. You know, it still could happen. So that's part of it, I think. And then, I mean, the second part of it, which I think is probably more interesting to everybody listening, the importance of daily testing, I think, cannot be understated because being able to test people on a daily basis basically ensures that you're not letting COVID into the building, right? And
that's right.
It's hard to get COVID if you're in a COVID-free environment. Now, if you're testing twice a week, that's totally different. Someone could get it asymptomatic, walk into the building. He may not be getting tested for another 3 days, so there are 3 days there for him to spread it, right? If you're testing guys every single day, you've got an infinitely better chance of not letting it into the building at all. And that's why it's going to be so interesting when the Big Ten comes back, because I believe they're going to be the first ones to implement the daily testing. I don't think that means you have zero cases across the Big Ten, but I think it gives you a much better chance of not letting – say, 2 cases turn into 12.
Right, containing it. Yeah.
Albert, let's talk about some of these injuries. I mean, there not many in week one, but after week two, tons of big ones.
Yeah.
You know, ACLs, Achilles, all these things. My takeaway on this, I said this to Adam earlier in the week, is I feel like, as players, your bodies can handle coming back the shock of 1 week, but then the recovery, right, having to come back in days, 7 days, some days even shorter with the Thursday night games, you know, without the preseason, I don't know that the bodies of these guys are ready. They're ready to take that toll. What are you hearing? What are your thoughts on all the rash of injuries here this past week?
Yeah, you know, I'll give you guys an interesting story from this week. You know, obviously, like, we all saw what happened on Sunday during the 1 o'clock window. And so I sent a text out to Dr. Tom Gill, who he was the Patriots team doctor for about 17 years. And I just asked him, like, do you think that there's some causation here? That this is a result of, you know, what's been a really weird year. And yeah. He said no. He said, like, you know, the ACLs are traumatic injuries. And he's like, I don't think that those, you know, really relate. And at that point, like, we've sort of seen a few of the ACLs. We saw Nick Bosa. We saw Saquon Barkley. And so his reaction was, you know, it would be more the soft tissue stuff. So I wrote it, you know, and it was in my column Monday. And then, you know, later in the day on, I think it was Tuesday, I had a GM text me. And he said, you know, like, you know, you're right about that, that, like, the ACLs probably aren't being caused by this. But he's like, we've had, like, a ton of hamstring issues during the week. So even though, like, the outbreak of injuries that you saw on Sunday might not be wholly related to what to the circumstance everybody's under, you know, we are still seeing a lot of the things that we were concerned about. And if you go back and you look at the data from 2011, you know, coming out of the lockout, there was a huge uptick in hamstring injuries and Achilles injuries and those sorts of things. And so, yeah, I think the best way to answer that, Dustin, is just, you know, there are some, I think there are some of them where it's related. And I think we are probably going to see more of those sorts of soft tissue things over the course of the year. But I'm not sure that you can relate all of them back to, you know, the fact that these guys didn't have OTAs and mini camps and preseason games and all the other stuff that they missed over the last 6 months.
Right.
Albert Breer with us, MMQB. Albert, are you all in right now on Josh Allen, right? You know, he came in with a big arm, but he was a little up and down, but he's gotten better. But, you know, the first two games this week, he's been as good as anybody in the NFL. Are you all in on, maybe not playing at this level, but do you think he's arrive to some degree?
I think there are a couple things to look at with him. Number one, you got to remember who he was coming out. I think everyone who scouted him, at least the guys I talked to, thought it would take a little bit with him. You know, like he was raw coming out, and there was definitely talent to work with there. You know, but he was going to have to get fundamentally better. He was going to have to, like, sort of slow down in the pocket a little bit. And, you know, he was going to have to become more accurate. And the thinking was that if you could get him to slow down a little bit, he got, like, I mean, he played behind a horrific offensive line in college. And, you know, the feeling was that had sped his clock up. So when he got to the NFL, it was, if you put some people around him, maybe you can get him to slow down a little bit and play a more fundamental game. And the thought was that's going to make him more accurate. And so, yeah, I think to some degree that's happened. And I think the other part of it, too, you know, a lot of times, you know, we sort of try to – I think a lot of times we look at quarterbacks through, you know, sort of one prism to, like, grade how they played. And, you know, really, like, you know, Josh is a big, athletic, like just gunslinging type quarterback, right? And so I think, you know, you have to sort of train your eyes to watch him a little bit. And you got to look at him a little bit more like you look at a Ben Roethlisberger or a Cam Newton, where, you know, he may not be the most polished guy, but he can win a bunch of different ways. And there was one throw he made to Diggs in Miami that was just off the charts. And it was the sort of throw where and Diggs made a spectacular catch on the ball, play on the ball too. But it was one of those plays where it's like, God, there probably aren't five quarterbacks on the planet who can make that play. And so, you know, I think that this was, you know, the Bills sort of knew it was going to be a process. And the great news for them is that, you know, over the last 3 years, he's progressively gotten better. And, you know, I think it's a testament to the kid himself, the Bills saw a lot of Cam Newton's traits. Remember, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean were coming from Carolina. You know, it's a tribute to the kid for working his butt off to make it happen. And it's also a tribute to the Bills coaches for sort of seeing something in him and being able to see through some of the flaws that he came into the league with.
Albert, what do you think about Drew Brees? People were making these comments after one game that he's lost his fastball or something like that. I know Michael Thomas didn't play in that game, and and obviously the Raiders played well. What are your thoughts on Breeze? And also, two parts there. What are your thoughts on Derek Carr, too, who looked really good for, through two games?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned on Breeze. When I called around on Tuesday about that, you know, sort of what I got back was, you know, and I asked, like, is there an issue with the Saints getting the ball downfield? And the answer I got back was really for the last, like, year and a half, teams have been daring the Saints to go downfield, and it's really difficult for them to do it. And that's one of the reasons why I think you're starting to see more, I hate to use the word trickery in their offense, but you're starting to see a little bit more creativity. And, you know, so, is there hard evidence that Breeze can't make the throws that he used to be able to make? It's hard to find it, but that's because, you know, I think the Saints are, at least it appears like the Saints are protecting him a little bit in that way. And that's a hard way. That could be a hard way to play. So, I think that there's, you know, legitimate questions there. And the thing that's tough for them is, you know, you start to kind of like look and say, is this the 2015 Broncos where there's so much young talent on that roster and it's ascending and that team is ready to compete for a championship and has been for the last couple of years. And you've got a bunch of third and fourth year guys who are legit stars in the league. You know, Marshawn Lattimore, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Ryan Ramczyk, the right tackle is excellent. But the quarterback might be declining. And so, you know, it's sort of like that's the equation is, you know, a lot of the teams rising and are they going to be good enough to maybe pick up a quarterback who might not be quite what he was. And then on Carr, I think the best comp for Carr, guys, is sort of like what Alex Smith was in Kansas City, you know? And I think maybe we all miss that. But, you know, Alex Smith was plenty good in Kansas City for 5 years for Andy Reid, and he got them to Patrick Mahomes. And because he was getting really good coaching and because he, you know, they put good talent around him, you know, he was like a perfectly adequate quarterback. And that's sort of how I look at Derek Carr. Like, as the situation around him gets a little bit better, he's getting really good coaching, and he's proving himself to be a really good like a perfectly adequate quarterback that can get you to the playoffs. I don't think that means they aren't eventually going to look for his replacement. I do think that day is coming, but I think Alex Smith in Kansas City is sort of the right comp, where it's like they like him, and he's plenty good enough. And the hope is eventually, you know, he buys them enough time to find whoever the next guy is.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, Baker Mayfield has now played 32 games in the NFL.
Yep.
I would argue he has two quality wins. Baltimore last year and Buffalo last year was a good win, too.
Yeah.
That's about it. I mean, he played really well against the Bengals this week, but we've seen him play well against bad teams in the past. Can we learn anything from Baker against Washington and Cincinnati? Or are we not going to find out until he plays after that Dallas, Indy, and Pittsburgh 3 weeks in a row?
Yeah, I think you probably want to wait until you make sweeping judgments on him. But I think the good news is, I mean, the Browns showed signs against the Bengals that they're going to be able to support him the right way, which I'm not sure that he's really had that yet, you know. And yep. Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are going to play on Monday night, and those guys are fantastic, right? Like, those guys are great. But look how good the situations were around those two, you know, from their offensive lines to their head coaches to the offensive creativity to everything. Like, just the environment around them, just good, stable, healthy environments, teams that have history of getting to the playoffs. And so I think maybe the most encouraging thing you know, to me, and I talked to Kevin Stefanski about this over the weekend, was that drive at the end of the game where they took the air out of the ball and they ran it right down the Bengals' throats. And, yep. You know, six plays later, they're in the end zone. I think it really showed that, you know, the offensive line is on its way. Maybe not there yet, but it's on its way. It's getting better. And that, you know, they're going to do what they need to do to support Baker Mayfield and to give him the best chance. And honestly, guys, like, that's the only way you're going to be able to really fairly grade him is, you know, giving him a healthy environment. And that's the only way you can fairly grade any of the young quarterbacks. And so, you know, I just thought, like, the purpose they played was in the identity they established against the Bengals. To me, that was a really encouraging sign. Again, it's the Bengals. The Bengals didn't have Geno Atkins and Mike Daniels, and obviously that was, you know, a reason why it was a little easier to run the ball on them. But I did see some encouraging signs there.
No doubt. From a defensive standpoint, well, you know what? Let me look at the other side of this. Joe Burrow, Albert, he's just getting the tar beat out of him. Their offensive line is just hideous. How concerned would you be that he's going to get shell-shocked and to the point where he's seeing ghosts? Because he's, I mean, he's hung in there great through 2 weeks, but he's been getting destroyed.
Yeah, and you have to be careful. And I think, like, honestly, like, that's where, you know, I talk about the running game. That's where Joe Mixon can come in. I mean, that's why you pay Joe Mixon. That's why I have no problem with Cincinnati doing what they did to pay him, because, you know, that guy can be as valuable as anything to your young quarterback. And, you know, go back and look. Like, you know, Jared Goff, when he broke out, had Todd Gurley standing next to him. Lamar Jackson, when he broke out, well, they brought in Mark Ingram. Patrick Mahomes, his first year playing, Kareem Hunt won the rushing title. I think the best thing the Bengals can do for Joe Burrow over the next few weeks is maybe take the ball out of his hands a little bit and lean a little bit more on Joe Mixon. And, you know, that'll help protect you, you know, against the problems you have on your offensive line. And it'll make things easier on your quarterback in general. And so I'm with you. Like, I think they have to monitor this. They've got to be careful about the amount of damage that he takes, because we've seen it before where, you know, you look at all the talent around him. I mean, how much of that offense is going to wind up playing pro football? A lot of guys, right? So we've actually now got to see him, like, and how he hangs in there in a situation that's not as good. So there's a lot of reason for encouragement in seeing that. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think you for the Bengals, a huge part of this year is making sure that you come out of it with Joe Burrow kind of, you know, building momentum towards 2021.
Last thing, Albert, I know you've been doing the Periscope thing. I say the Periscope thing because I'm, like, still not exactly sure Periscope. I mean, I know what it is. But anyway, on Thursday and Monday night.
It's been around for a while there, Bo. You know, it's not brand new anymore.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. but I know you've been doing that. It's really cool that you do, because it allows people to connect with you on Thursday and Monday. What made you start doing that, and will you do it? You're going to do it all season, I assume.
Yeah. And I don't know if Keith mentioned it to me off the top, too. I it was just a way to kind of, you know, connect with people. And I one thing I've found is, like, that, you know, especially younger people now want to, like, connect with all of us, you know, and, like, they want to have access to us. And, you know, I think you have to kind of always look at every new platform that, you know, comes out, the kids are using, and I've got young kids, so I get to watch it, you know, to some degree, and, you know, kind of how they learn and how they, you know, consume content. You know, I think for me it was just like, you know, I get so many people asking me questions about the NFL. That's like I get around my friends and it's like, oh, what's happening here? What's happening there? And I'm sure it's the same way for you guys at home, you know? And so it was sort of an easy way to rapid fire answer a lot of questions at once. And I think give people what they want. So, I really like doing it, you know, because it's something that allows me to connect with people, allows me to connect with my audience, and you know, hopefully I can give them a little something. I mean, it's sort of interesting too, because you know, like during the halftime show and everything else, it's like I'm sort of competing against, you know, ESPN or Fox or whoever it is, but people do seem to like it.
It's great stuff, Albert. We appreciate it. It's cool that you're doing it. Good luck with it the rest of the season, and we appreciate you joining us as always.
All right, thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.